Please be seated. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. To begin this sermon, I need to set the scene. Nicodemus was no ordinary man, as we've seen just in the reading. He was a rabbi who taught rabbis. He was a Pharisee and probably in the Sanhedrin religious body of the government. This guy knew the Torah like the back of his hand. When it came to teaching what the scriptures meant, he would have been profound. The thing about Nicodemus was that he had obviously observed Jesus. He had listened to Jesus' teachings, and he did not refute him as heresy. He would have compared Jesus' words to the scriptural foundations that he knew. Then Nicodemus would have observed the miracles, the healings and deliverances that supported the words that Jesus spoke. This actually reminds us in weighing up the facts first, so we get the context into concepts that may be new to us. Nicodemus was no fool. When other Pharisees simply scorned Jesus, he thought about just who this man called Jesus could be. And because of this, he concludes that Jesus has come from God. This is what I like about Nicodemus. He knew there was something right about Jesus and made an effort to find out more. We too may be approached with questions on how and what our faith means. And I want to share an example. When I was about 16, I used to join a group in King's Cross in Sydney. And we would go and do little dramas on the street, and we'd sing songs and share the gospel with people. And one guy came up to me, and he was a bit cheeky, and he said, "Here you go, mate. Here's your chance. Convert me." And I thought, what do I say to this? And I thought for a while and actually prayed. I said, what do I say to this guy? And actually what came out of my mouth was no. I said, no, I'm not going to convert you. And he said, what? You've blown your chance. Here's your chance. Gabba to gabba go. And I said, no. I said, I'm just here to point the way. It's God who does the conversion in our lives. And from that time, he dropped all his silliness. And we had this great conversation. And we talked for about half an hour until after a while his wife was saying, come on, George, we've got to get out of here. But he received something. He saw something that was very different that he hadn't perceived before. So when with Jesus and Nicodemus, there enters a conversation that is most profound. One of the conversations in John's Gospels. But Jesus changes the type of language he uses. For the general public, he used parables and plain speech. Here he speaks in a style that Nicodemus, the theologian, would have understood. Nicodemus responds in the same way. The conversation is thick with rhetoric and mixed with metaphors and similes. Here we hear the terms like born again or from above, born of the flesh, born of the spirit, lifted up, and believe and be saved. Nicodemus gets most of what Jesus is telling him. Jesus is talking here about a rebirth of our spirit and soul. But the rhetorical concept is a bit vague for Nicodemus. So Jesus parallels the metaphor of water with the metaphor of the spirit. Nicodemus can grasp the metaphor of water. This applies to ritual cleansing and was common in the Jewish traditions. Before one could present an offering, they had to wash. This not only signified the cleansing of the body, but symbolized the cleansing or renewal of the soul as well. Yet Jesus shows Nicodemus that this act of purifying oneself was tied up with human limitations. We ourselves come as an act of submission to God to be baptized. It too symbolizes rebirth, to die to ourselves and to enter into a renewed, cleansed life with God. In this, we join ourselves into the death of Christ and into his new resurrected life. It is a demonstration of our belief. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus takes Nicodemus one step further, and in doing so, he brings us, the observer, along with him. He speaks of being born in the Spirit, a spiritual rebirth and purification that only God can do within our souls. This is where the famous born again statement comes from. The precise statement is born from above, meaning it is God's work. In other words, when we come to believe in the gift of God's only Son for us as his offering of purification for our lives, we are then open to be born in the Spirit. When we publicly submit to God and demonstrate our faith in the waters of baptism, we also enter into God's intervention into our lives. This is as far as we can go in what we can do to demonstrate our love and desire to be united with God our Father. And he knows this. Nicodemus knows this too. Everything in his life is tied up with what he has to do to achieve forgiveness from sin and to live a life of salvation. It is a real chore of do's and don'ts, acceptance and rejection, because of what he has or has not done. We too, in our religious rituals, can also fall into this vortex of a human struggle to please God, believing that it is through our efforts that gets his approval and even earns our salvation. So Jesus points to Moses and the serpent on the staff to help Nicodemus understand. It was God who intervened and healed the Israelites supernaturally. All that was needed was to gaze upon the serpent, the act of belief, and the people would be healed. Then Jesus points to his own destiny and states that only when the Son of Man is lifted up, as we turn to Christ on the cross and believe in his deliverance from sin, we too come into a spiritual healing, a spiritual cleansing, and begin a life of salvation. Yes, everlasting life starts in the here and now. When we read this conversation, we are drawn to seeing that the work of forgiveness for sin and the cleansing of our hearts comes from the threefold Trinity. God, who gave us Jesus, Jesus, the sacrifice for our sin, and the Holy Spirit, who rebirths our body, spirit, and soul into a worthy offering, purified for the glory of God. The Message Bible translation puts it this way: this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his only one Son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. From now on, Nicodemus is confronted with the reality that a whole and lasting life is in the believing of God's work through his Spirit. The same is for us. Believing in God's gracious gift of Christ for us on the cross, and in the Holy Spirit who does God's work upon our souls. The things we do for God are secondary and come from a response of knowing God's so awesome love for us. The underlying word that keeps coming up is believe. Believe is not merely a statement of trust, but in that trust we plunge ourselves off the safety of our human efforts into risking everything that is of God. Our faith in God really is a spiritual leap of faith. As we enter into the life of Christ, we too take on all that Jesus is and all his kingdom brings as the Father in heaven rebirths, transforms, and unites us with his Spirit and by his Spirit. So here is the doctrine of the Trinity, three in one in a nutshell. As Jesus says, the Spirit is like the wind. We do not know the Spirit's wheres and whys, but just like the wind, we know God's Spirit is there with us. We know we belong to the Father and that Jesus has made this happen. Let us pray. Father God, you are the only one who can bring us into a closer relationship with you. In believing, may your identity take over ours. In believing, may we be receptive to your Spirit. Like the wind, may the Holy Spirit interfere with our lives, keeping us aware of his presence. In believing, may the Spirit of God daily transform us from above. In the name of the Father, who draws us to himself. In the name of the Son, who purifies us as a perfect offering to God. And the name of the Holy Spirit, who rebirths us into the likeness of all three. Amen.